Joining us this morning is the Director of Aviation, which means he's the airport guy for the County of Humboldt, Cody Raggetts. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
That's right. It's a two-way conversation here, buddy.
That's right.
All righty. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Let's do it.
Okay. Paraphernalia. How did personal belongings come to be called paraphernalia?
Gosh, I'm not sure. I know there's another word that's usually associated with that.
But yeah. But it's...
I'm not sure the origins of that one.
It's legal, so that's okay. Here we go. According to Roman law, there were certain things which a wife might claim as hers upon the death of her husband. Articles that weren't part of her dower. The Romans adopted a Greek word to cover these items, paraphernia, meaning beside dower. So there you go, a little Greek and Roman combined.
That was a great history lesson this morning. I appreciate that.
Yeah, not particularly exciting though, huh?
Not how it's usually used in today's phraseology, that's for sure.
All righty. Well, let me whip another one on you then, just because you kind of got cheated on that one. Pay the piper.
Pay the piper.
Why do we use the phrase pay the piper to indicate future remorse?
Is that related to a religion or afterlife, paying the piper?
Oh, man. Think dance. Because, though dancing is fun, still the piper who leads the dance or plays for it has to be paid. The moral is pointed out in the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, who wasn't paid for ridding the town of rats, and so led the town children away. You don't remember that one? Growing up, they don't do that one in the Midwest?
I'm sure we did, but that's a few years ago now for me.
Oh, I was thinking you pay about as much attention to that as you did in class.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez. So it certainly is interesting times what's going on. As far as the airports, are you seeing a lot more action at the airstrips now? Are people flying in on private planes, or are you just seeing kind of a lower level across the board of air traffic in the county?
It's been a lower level across the board at ACV and our other five general aviation facilities. I've been part of dialogue groups with general aviation airport managers and commercial service airport managers across the state as this situation has all unfolded, and it's having drastic negative impacts in all lines of business, whether that's fuel sales, passenger levels, just overall utilization of airports of all makes and sizes.
Now, we hear an awful lot about the airline industry right now doing battle. You know, the airlines having a tough go of it, the manufacturers having a tough go of it. Don't hear about airports having a tough go of it, but obviously you guys are in that chain also. You were doing so well for so long. Is this throwing a serious monkey wrench into the plans for the upgrading that we've discussed in the past?
It does. Luckily, airports were taken into consideration with the recent legislation passed in D.C. So that will give us a lifeline for continuing operations and finishing construction projects and hopefully, as we look to those future upgrades to our infrastructure that we've discussed previously, we'll be able to be on the upswing again and past this COVID-19 situation. So we are continuing to operate all six airports and plan to continue to do so to allow for essential travel only for medical professionals, movement of medical supplies. And one thing that isn't always discussed is, you know, airports are critical for an industry that has been growing in this situation, and that's, delivery and logistical services to people's front doors while following the social guidelines from the CDC. So we'll continue to be a critical part of that logistical piece moving forward and helping folks out in that fashion.
So as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, I think I've used this as a reference a couple of times, that President Bush during the SARS epidemic had said, or concerns, I guess it wasn't an epidemic, had said that the Chinese character for disaster has, or pardon me, for crisis, has two characters. One is for disaster and the other is for opportunity. Have you been able to identify opportunities, or have other airport managers seen opportunities that have kind of come out of this situation, or perhaps instead of identifying them, put it into action?
I would say at the local, state, and national level, not speaking on behalf of our airport management industry, but the dialogue that I've been a part of, we're short term, we're all just trying to survive and maintain the infrastructure that we all have. Long term, there will certainly be opportunities, particularly on the airline development side. Unfortunately, when we started down this path 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were looking at 10% domestic capacity cut was the original message that we received from United. We were a part of that 10% domestic capacity cut. They were intending to take one of our two daily LAX flights offline. Now we've evolved to a situation where all of our flights have been taken offline except for two daily departures to San Francisco and arrivals from San Francisco. Near term for April and likely May, that's what our status will be, with some cancellations in there for low demand or low passenger loads.
Right, certainly that stuff makes a ton of sense. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from ACV, et cetera, et cetera. He's the airport guy in the area. Cody, when we were talking about the air flights, I had heard a little while ago that some of the flights were coming in with 10 people on board, which if it was normal time, that would be so cool for my one flight, but it's certainly not sustainable. And that a lot of the flights were pulled out and adjusting schedules. Are you confident that when we get through this and everything kind of reset?
We are confident that we will return to similar offerings. Unfortunately, because of the effects of this COVID-19 crisis on our air service offerings, we see that right now as being a slow and steady climb, talking about months or potentially years, a year or two to get back to that. The airlines, we anticipate, will be cautious as they redevelop some of the routes that were previously offered. But the airlines, going back to our previous conversation there on opportunity, the airlines are going to jump at opportunities that they may not have necessarily captured on previously. So, we might not be exactly at, three San Francisco, two LAX, and one Denver offering, but we've continued conversations, looking beyond COVID-19 and the current situation with airlines. And just actually yesterday I had a conference call, you know, when we get to the backside of this, about possible development of a northbound route. So we're still hearing what the public wants and taking the statistics that we have available to us and throwing those pitches to the airlines to hopefully grow back to where we were and beyond prior to the outbreak.
In looking at some of the challenges, I would suspect that a lot of the smaller commuter airports like we are all in the same boat. The health of the airline industry is something that I know they're discussing at a federal level, but at the local level or at the state level, there's not an awful lot of discussion there because it's a federal regulatory entity that's overseeing this particular industry. Do you have a sense, will the industry be made whole? Will the individual be made whole, the individual airlines, the manufacturers? I mean, you start looking at this, and all of a sudden, those numbers get really big, really quick.
Yeah, they really do. You know, the package that was passed in D.C. recently for the airlines is $62 billion of aid, and the primary goal of that was to maintain employment levels for a certain period and to a certain extent keep airports like ours on United's network. And I think we'll be to a point where we're recovering on the backside of this. You know, we may see a point where we even dip down to one daily San Francisco operation per day, but we'll still have that access to the global network that United provides and is going to rebuild. Industry-wide, you know, the airport here locally at ACD, a lot of people don't realize the impacts that passengers have as far as our functionality. You know, there's numerous businesses that employ dozens of people just at ACV, whether that's the TSA screening agents, the airline itself, the rental car agencies, the parking lot, and all of those impacts of declined passenger traffic trickle through to those businesses and have caused some of them to suspend operations, will cause others to suspend operations, and really makes it a struggle as far as our revenue stream and allowing us to operate the airport. But there was funding provided in the federal legislation. So we will be getting some local, federal level assistance for operating our local airport for a certain period of time, and we just hope to get back on that recovery or recovering to what we were before that assistance runs out.
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, it was a precipice going in, and I don't think anybody's seen that it's going to be a right angle and plateau and we're right back where we were before. That everybody seems to be indicating it's going to take a month or two for the just confidences to get back and the cash flow in folks' bank accounts starting to roll and businesses starting to rehire back in. What percentage of your flight is business related?
As far as our overall passenger traffic, Brian, I don't have the business statistics in front of me, but that has been obviously the primary factor of drop-off. You know, people are still traveling. We're actually encouraging them not to travel, which I never thought I'd be doing in my career. But, you know, we're working with DHHS at the county level, encouraging people not to travel unless absolutely necessary. But over the last week of March, we recognized an 85% drop off in our passenger traffic compared to that week the year before. So it's significant. We're seeing passenger counts that are dwindling, continuing to dwindle beyond that 85%. In fact, on the national level, on April 1st, TSA processed people through security checkpoints at a 94% decline compared to the same day a year ago. So it's approaching that 100% figure. It's, you know, never going to reach quite to that, but this is something that's unprecedented in our industry, including after the events of September 11th and that of the Great Recession in 08 and 09, those situations pale in comparison to the impacts on the aviation and travel industry that we're recognizing from COVID-19.
I mean, it's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt Director of Aviation. Maybe I'll get it right eventually here. Cody Rogatz. The concept of air flight obviously is something that is relatively new for a lot of us. Do you see that there... you guys were talking a lot about having an industrial zone. Is there any way down the road that that could be as much or more of a revenue generator than is the air service industry?
I don't know that we would ever have development at the airport that would necessarily exceed the impacts that airline service has for our operation. However, it's all about diversification in the airport business, just as we hear from our financial advisors, you know, which has been relevant here of late with the markets going the way they have. You know, diversification is the key to success and long-term success. We don't have a lot of diversification of the airport grounds at this point. It is primarily just aviation-focused and at ACB primarily airline-focused. But additional development, whether that's for general aviation or an industrial park, those opportunities will exist in the future. They might be pushed back, you know, a few years as we recover from this current situation, but they definitely need to be a part of the mix to make us financially sound and successful in the long term.
Now, we hear the phrase essential, okay? What is essential travel, other than, you know, medical emergencies and things of that nature, which are pretty self-evident and aren't handled on commercial flights? What qualifies it? And do you guys have to put people through a filter?
We don't. We're working on a daily basis right now with Department of Health and Human Services and the County Emergency Operations Center as we continue to address this evolving situation. To answer your question on essential, that would be for medical professionals and even for folks that are, you know, traveling to assist family or friends, as everybody's situation is unique and how they're handling this. And I say that, you know, helping friends and family, but people need to follow the guidance that has been provided from the medical professionals. You know, we have posted messages throughout the terminal for arriving and departing passengers. You know, on the arrival side, we're taking the CDC's recommendations and that of Dr. Frankovich at the local level that returning travelers should self-quarantine at home for 14 days after arrival. If you become ill, stay home. And there's a list of circumstances that could lead to the need to go see your own medical professional or your doctor. So we just ask that folks continue to follow that, and that will help all of us get through this in a safer, quicker fashion and get back to life and business as normal.
Is this a chance for your staff to catch up on some things that they may not have been able to do otherwise?
Wow, Brian, I'm not even there sitting with you this morning. We're doing this over the phone, but yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that question. We are utilizing staff that we have. You and I have discussed in previous conversations that we need to build our staffing model up, and we've successfully done so over the last couple of years, but there's still much more need than we're able to address trying to manage and maintain six airports. So this opportunity, or this downturn in our airline travel provides opportunities and flexibility for us with our current staff to get them out to address some of those maintenance needs at our other five airports and to better address some of the maintenance needs at ACV.
Major ones, or things that the air traveler will see, or is this more like picking the weeds out from the gutter kind of stuff?
Major ones were, you know, unfortunately our parking lot is almost completely bare out here at ACV, but that provides us an opportunity to address some of the lighting needs, for example, out in the parking lot that are difficult from a logistical standpoint to close off sections of our parking lot, because there's been certain times of the year over the past couple of years that our parking lot has essentially been full. And, you know, we don't ever want to inconvenience our travelers or users, so it's hard for us to get to some of the lighting infrastructure in the parking lot to maintain that properly. So we're taking opportunities that the passengers, when they return on the backside of this situation, will hopefully see a better facility for them to return to, and seeing that we're trying to build for the future and provide a better experience for our users.
Well, you know, maybe cutting down the weeds, they'll be able to see where the parking lot is.
It's a work in progress, my friend.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz from Humboldt Aviation. Cody, we focus an awful lot on what's going on up at the airport. I know that there's been frustration with the parking and with some of that kind of stuff. The fact that the parking lot is, let's call it empty for all intents and purposes, is one thing. But you need to have the money to be able to do whatever it is that you want to have done also. Are the funds set aside? Can you throw down some new paint on the bars and new light standards and all that kind of stuff that you've been wanting to do?
That goes back to earlier in our conversation as far as development. So one thing we continue to progress on even through COVID-19 is our microgrid solar array project with our partners at HSU, RCEA, and PG&E. And that will free up quite a bit of our maintenance budget to the tune of five or six figures on an annual basis to allow us, essentially energy generated from that system once it's installed. We will no longer need to fund that on an annual basis. We have a lot of lights, a lot of power that it takes to run just ACV, and offsetting the majority of that with green energy will allow us to free up some of that capital. But also, as we hopefully continue to diversify our portfolio, if you will, of tenants here at ACV and our other facilities, that will lead to additional revenue so we can better maintain the infrastructure that we have throughout the county.
So that project with the microgrid is continuing to progress independent of anything else?
Yeah, we've had our challenges with that, just with folks working remotely. That as I'm sure it does in the radio business too, hence us talking on the phone and not in person, but it presents some additional challenges, but we're working through that and continuing to try to progress on projects like that. We're also still hoping to finalize our new ARC facility out here at the airport and working on the lease and rental study that we've discussed previously. And push forward on those things that we can you know, rather than have face-to-face meetings, we're following the CDC guidelines as well, and doing a lot more telecommuting, if you will, via phone or video meetings that we didn't do previously, and held meetings in person. So progress still continues to be made, even in this current situation, and we'll still look to capitalize on future infrastructure improvements as we move forward.
So what's going to be the one big wow that people experience when they come back, when they start flying out of Eureka Arcade again? Will it be the lights, or is there another little surprise you got up your sleeve?
No, nothing that we haven't talked about before. There might be a slight delay because of some of the nuances in our current working environment, but we're still proceeding forward with that rental and fee and lease analysis that we had discussed in previous conversations. And we want to get to, you know, while it might not be November or December this year as we originally planned, it might be the first quarter of next year, but we want to wrap that up, get that off of our plate from our compliance side with the FAA, and then we'll begin exploring, you know, funding opportunities for the lighting project that we had discussed previously, and analyzing what our needs are, to whether that's addressing land side, parking lot, you know, the front of the terminal itself, or airside at ACV and our other five facilities.
Any, I would presume that there's no timeline for that northbound flight yet?
There isn't. You know, we, as I mentioned earlier, when we started into this situation related to COVID-19, original estimations were this was going to be a month or two lull and then instant recovery. Now projections have changed where we anticipate that this is going to go through the remainder of the year, not the current shelter in place. I don't want to give anybody that impression, but just our recovery efforts from an airline service perspective will go through 2020 and likely proceed into 2021 as we try to get back to where we were, and then develop further. But
well, hopefully that is an extended projection rather than we'll have a quicker recovery than that. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate your time, and stay healthy.
You too, Cody. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
See everybody tomorrow.